What if I told you money isn't scary? Well, that's just what Megan Dwyer believes, and she's joining me today to talk about avoiding bad money beliefs. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we go beyond the dollars and cents. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking about why it's so common that we're all scared of our money and how we can begin to overcome bad money beliefs. There's a lot of great insight from today's episode, and Megan Dwyer, who joins me today, is a certified financial planner and host of the Money Isn't Scary podcast. After spending 15 years watching women take a passive role in the management of their money, she's on a mission to help them stop playing small by challenging the societal norms around women and money. Megan aims to empower women to make money decisions out of a sense of abundance and confidence rather than scarcity and fear. When Megan isn't working, she loves running, riding, and being a mom to her two young boys. Megan brings a lot of great insights to today's interview, so make sure you're ready to take some notes and make sure you're thinking about that key takeaway that you can take from today's episode and have a money talk with someone about it. I'd love to hear how you talk about money with those around you as well. So please reach out if you have some sort of topic that stands out that you want to talk about. Shoot me an email. Reach out if you regularly have a money talk, because I'd love to gather some ideas on different ways to have money talks. The money talking points from today's episode are: what are 2 to 3 values you enjoy spending money on? And 2, do you feel guilty about your spending? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello and welcome to today's episode and interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Megan Dwyer. We're here to talk about avoiding typical bad money beliefs, some value-based spending, things in that area. Megan, thank you so much for joining. Would you introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So my name is Megan Dwyer. I am a certified financial planner. I am a certified money coach. I am host of my own podcast called Money Isn't Scary, which I started almost 4 years ago now during the pandemic. And I really started that as kind of my way of dealing with all the things I was dealing with at the time. I had young kids, very young kids at the time, and my husband had lost his job, and I had kind of found myself online shopping as a coping strategy, as a way to deal with those big feelings. And it wasn't really the problem, but it was that guilt and that shame that I felt afterwards that I didn't love and I really wanted to dig into a little bit more. So my podcast is really a lot of that. It's my journey, my stories, my insights, the things that I've learned along the way, because I know that if doing this, then there's so many other people out there that are doing it too. So I wanted to help other women know that they're not alone.
Fantastic. And that's the fun part about podcasts, is we get to share our mistakes so other people don't have to make them. So
totally. Yeah.
But why are people typically scared with their money? Your podcast is called Money Isn't Scary. And why are people typically scared when it comes to money?
Yeah. So my work is mostly for women, right? Although many of the principles that I teach and that I talk about are for everyone, but women are unique. We've been cultured differently from men. And that goes pretty deep. It gets passed down through many generations. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much fear around money because it's unfamiliar. Of course, you know, we know what money is, but we weren't really taught anything about it. We come from a culture where money is just very taboo. We don't talk about it, even within our own homes. I know that I never talked about it in my house growing up, unless it was, you know, that one day a month that my dad did the bills and we were like, stay away, give dad space today, because he's probably going to be stressed out and grouchy about it, right? So I kind of got this negative connotation around money, and I honestly wanted to avoid it as much as I could. I also think that there's some unique aspects to women, because we live in a culture where we get these messages again that we're not inherently good at money. Maybe like men are, right? We're taught basically through pop culture and movies and TV shows and all these things. I'm thinking of a couple movies in particular that women are just like natural, you know, spenders, and that if we have money, that's what we're going to do, is just immediately blow it on shoes and clothes and things like that. And that we basically can't be trusted around it. So these are just all things that I didn't even question when I was growing up. I just accepted it as truth and I never actually challenged it until fairly recently when I started, as I said, like right around when I started this podcast, and I was kind of going through my own kind of inner challenges.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, not awesome. It sounds like a hard time, but awesome that you came to this point where you learned so much. And I've had several different women on my podcast to talk about the idea of the differences between men and women when it comes to money. And it's honestly eye-opening when you have those conversations, because one of the things that's often brought up is that women just don't ask, especially right. when it comes for like raises and things like that. Which,
well, you know, we're not taught to, right? We're taught to mm-hmm. be good little girls and do what we're told and, you know, have other, not question authority, right? And mm-hmm. that can be scary and challenging in and of itself to step outside of your comfort zone to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. And I wonder if that leads to other fear with money where maybe women just feel like they have to do what, like you said, is shown in movies or taught in like stories and things like that, where it's just, yeah. that's how women handle money. And it's not great that it's just passed yeah. down that way.
And like it's almost like we naturally step into that role as if that is that, because that was the role modeling for us. Right. And every household is different, obviously, but you know, my dad handled the bills. My mom kind of was more of the day-to-day, you know, shopper, but it was still never talked about. It was still never like they kind of whispered amongst themselves around it. And occasionally there might be some arguments or, you know, there was some conflict with them around where the money was going, but it was never discussed, at least in a healthy way with the kids in the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I want to break that. I feel like it all starts at home. And if we can't have these open, honest, you know, real conversations with our families and with our kids around these things, then we're just going to continue to perpetuate the cycle.
Yeah. And why do you so badly want to help people overcome those bad beliefs and help people break through that?
Because I see how it's holding people back from living the life that they really want. And, mm-hmm. and I've done it myself, right? Like I've let those fears and my lack of knowledge and understanding lead the way with my decisions for like way too long. And I think it was fine for a while for me, but I'm hitting a place now in my life. I'm 40 now. I have two kids. And where whenever I start to make decisions, financial decisions, whatever they are, right? I want them to be able to align with my values and who I am. And when they don't align, that's when things get uncomfortable. That's when I start to feel like maybe that shame or guilt. And mm-hmm. those are, I think, are triggers that we need to pay attention to. So I think I just want to see more people in this world act and behave out of a genuine understanding and caring for who they are and what matters to them and their passions versus just kind of going through the motions and doing what they think they're supposed to do, even though that may not really align or feel good for them.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you can kind of move into that point and you see the freedom that it can bring you, that money can unlock opportunities instead of feeling like this weight that's constantly hanging around us, that's a really fun place to get to. And you talk a lot about helping people get to their passion, and maybe that's overcoming some guilty spending. And like you've said, is maybe they're spending too much to overcome other feelings. But how do we get over that guilty spending and kind of move through that?
Right. Because guilt and shame aren't really helping anyone, right? They're not positive emotions. They're not moving anybody forward. They're keeping you stuck and feeling yucky and feeling disempowered, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily about like getting over the guilt. I think it's about working with the guilt, right? Because guilt is a sign, right? That something is misaligned. So when you start to feel that guilt, that's a cue, right? That's something that we need to lean into. So here's an example, like maybe, you know, you just spent money on, you went away for the weekend on a trip with your friends, but maybe you never really wanted to go in the first place, right? Or maybe it was going to stress you out because maybe things were tight for you and you didn't have the money, or maybe you just didn't really want to go, honestly. But you went anyway because you felt like it was a thing that you should do. Oftentimes we'll feel, you know, that guilt, and the guilt around that money that you spent, I think it's about more than that. I think we honestly, it's not just necessarily the money. It's the fact that you made decisions that were not aligned with what you really wanted to do and what your true self is. Right. So maybe we just need to get clearer on what is important to you and what our needs are instead of what somebody else's are. And maybe we need to get better with boundaries. I think we need to get better, honestly, with self-compassion too. That's a huge piece to working through the guilt. Again, I don't think you ever just get over it. I think guilt is it's a trigger and it's a sign and it's leading you towards something that you need to dig into a little bit more.
Yeah. Instead of it just being this negative feeling we have to completely eradicate, you can almost use it, I guess, turn it in the form of a superpower where you're like, oh, I'm recognizing there's some guilt here. What needs to change about this situation so I'm not feeling like that?
Yeah.
I think that's a great place to take it.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, something that I've really been working with, and I talk about this a little bit on the podcast here and there, is like, I've always been of the mindset that like, if there is a problem, you give me a problem, I will solve that problem. Right. So if you think, or you give me like, I guess we also live in this culture too, where it's oftentimes good vibes only. Right. Mm-hmm. And if there's something negative or something that doesn't feel good, we want to immediately take that away. Like I think about that with my kids, like my son just downstairs, he just tripped and kind of like stubbed his heel and he got a little cut downstairs, a scrape, and it started to bleed. And I immediately just was like, okay, let's make this go away. Let me like just get through it. I just want the pain to go away for you. Right. So, but you can't, you have to learn to sit with that discomfort and see what you can take from it. So it's not about getting over it per se. It's about working with it and learning from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once you do that, you'll be able to figure out what sets that off. What do you need to change? Like you said, maybe the guilt isn't that you're spending money on a trip. Maybe you just didn't want to go on the trip in the first place.
Yeah.
And if you didn't allow yourself to sit with it and think through it, you're never going to recognize that. And you're going to think money is always the problem and it always will be.
Right. And it's never about the money. It isn't. Mm-mm. Like it's always about what that money represents to us and what's underneath it. Right. And yeah, exactly that. I think that these are all signs. These are all things that we just need to slow down. We live in this culture of go, 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 go constantly. And we need to allow ourselves that gift of being able to slow down a little bit and check in with ourselves. And what are we feeling? What do we want? What do we want to do today? How do we want to feel? Put some intention around it.
Yeah. A recent guest on my podcast suggested the idea of a money journal where maybe you have tracking or whatever set up in the background, but that's not really teaching you anything. Whereas if you're more so going through the credit card statement with a journal, writing down what you've thought, what you feel from those expenses, what you got from it, that's a great way to begin to open your eyes to how money's being handled.
Totally. Cause then you learn, right? And if you start to feel, and if you go back through those expenses and you're like, oh, that was, I didn't really love that. Or I bought this thing that didn't work out for me or something like that. You know, then you learn. But if on the contrary, you can say, oh, well, we stayed at this hotel. I'm just throwing something out and I had the best time. That's something you remember, like feel into those feelings and say, hey, that's something. Okay. So that aligns, that feels really good to me. Let's kind of focus on more of that. Now, I'm not saying you can do that all the time or every day or anything like that, but it's this is a practice, right? This is like a journey. So the more that we understand who we are and what our kind of needs and wants are and what feels good to us, the more we can kind of begin to incorporate that into our day to day. And the less over time you'll start to feel that guilt and shame.
Yeah. And we've talked about maybe a little bit of ways that people can find what works for them or use guilt to kind of adjust their money habits. But mainly value-based spending is something you push a lot of people towards and help teach a lot. But what is value-based spending?
Yeah. So I think I've just alluded to it a lot, but simply put, value-based spending is aligning where we spend our dollars and how we spend them with what truly matters to us. And in order to do this, I think first we need to actually determine what truly matters to us, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to do a values exercise. This is something that I encourage people to do a lot. You can just Google it, but if you go out there and just literally Google list of values, you can find lists that, you know, have whatever 50, 60, 70 different values. And you start by just going through and circling, you know, your top 10 to 15. And then you go in things that just feel right to you, whatever that is, family or health or adventure or whatever it is, whatever the values are, right? And then you kind of narrow it down from there. And ideally you get your kind of top like 3 to 5. And once you get those should sort of be your guiding light, right? Now, I'm not going to say, like I just mentioned this, we can't use every dollar towards everything that matters to us, right? Yeah. Sometimes we just have to pay the bills. But for all the things that we do have a good amount of control over, right? Those discretionary dollars, this is really a good way to give you some guardrails and help you feel good about where those dollars are going.
Yeah. And people listening are going to be like, oh boy, here comes another story about him and his wife going to Disney World. But I think this aligns to what you said, because my wife and I know we value trips. We value time together. And my work trip was taking me to Tampa, which is close to Orlando. So my wife and I both got to go and we said, hey, this is a once in a lifetime chance where our flights and hotel and everything were paid for. We can splurge the money to go to Disney World, because when are we going to be here? And so that aligned with our values. We had the money in the background too, already like set up through some strategic savings. And then we can just pull the trigger and go for it. So I think once you figure out those values, you're going to notice opportunities where you can make your money just kind of do what you want. And then you're able to hit those values really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to add to that, right? Like I like bucketing.
Yeah. That's exactly what got us there, is like sinking funds in buckets.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like I think a good place to sort of start with this is going back and looking at that spending, looking at your statements, looking at those transactions and kind of tracking where those discretionary dollars have been going, and kind of come up with a percentage, or just say, hey, out of those discretionary dollars, how much of that aligns with what my values really are, right? Mm-hmm. And I use the example in my podcast a lot with spending. Like I like to run. So spending money on a new pair of sneakers is completely aligned for me. But if I were to go spend money on a bunch of like high heel shoes to go out, like I don't do that all that often. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care, frankly, but yet sometimes you get caught up in the heat of the moment, and maybe you do, but that would be an example of something that does not align for me. Like I'm not going to wear those. I might wear those once a year or something, yeah. Right? Versus like the sneakers that I'll wear a couple times a week and I will use, and that will be really valuable to me in my day to day.
Yeah, I think that's a great exercise for people to maybe even print out their statement, go through it, put an X next to the ones that you know don't align. You're like, that one just doesn't feel like valuable. But then you see that one where you're like, yeah, this one I would make 100 times out of 100 because this was a fun experience or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a great way to get started. Do you have what's another small step someone can take today to move towards value-based spending?
Yeah. So I think, you know, like we just said, kind of doing that internal work, right? Getting an understanding of what matters to you, and start to put money into buckets, like we just said, towards that goal. So if you love to travel, and I'm sure this is exactly what you did, you can't do that every day, right? But you can set up today an automatic transfer to have $10 or $15 a week, whatever, or a month, or whatever it is, go into an account towards that goal. So that when you end up booking that trip, just like you said you did, right, now you have some funds already set aside for it, instead of worrying how you're going to pay for it when it comes up. Because I know that happens with me all the time. We like to go, my oldest son is 8 now, and he's obsessed with Legos. And we live in Massachusetts, so we will drive to Legoland in New York. And it is expensive. I mean, when it first opened, it was like, I don't even know. It was probably like maybe even $1,000 to stay at the hotel for a night or something like that. The actual park is very, very cheap, but the hotel is what gets you. Now it's a little bit less, but I remember the first time that we looked at this and looked at going, he was so excited to go. And we're like, oh my God, that's so expensive. How are we going to do this? Put on the credit card. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Right. And that plan just doesn't a line. Like, that is no plan. That's just a reaction. And so now I know we like to go to Legoland. If we can do it, you know, once a year or once every other year or something like that, I'm going to save money towards that because that's important to us. And I think, you know, once you have those dollars set aside, then you don't have to worry about it as much, right? Because first of all, money is going to be spent on something no matter what, right? So we might as well be intentional about the when and the how that we spend our money.
Yeah, I that's a fantastic quote right there. Money's going to be spent no matter what. So make sure you figure out where you actually want to spend it so that you're in control of it. Fantastic. That's an awesome place to leave that conversation about some value-based spending, is make sure you're spending it in a way that you really want to. But I think also people might be dealing with limiting beliefs. We talked about in the beginning how sometimes women don't ask for raises because that's just the way it's taught, or they don't want to stir the pot or things like that. How can someone begin to have a money talk? Maybe they're feeling a limiting belief. Oh, I can't save money. My family's never saved money. My family's never been good with money. How can people begin to have conversations to overcome things like that?
Yeah. So I think it all starts internally, right? Like, you have to be able to have the guts, right? If you will, the bravery to even start questions, right? So where does that come from? That comes from curiosity within ourselves, right? So first we need to start by figuring out or working with ourselves and saying, okay, what might be holding me back, and where do I want to get to, and kind of backing into it from there. And I honestly think that starting these money conversations can be intimidating, and the way to do it is to start with somebody who is safe for you, who feels safe for you, right? You're not just going to go all of a sudden go talk to a neighbor or somebody who you don't feel like you can get the response that you're looking for, right? Or maybe the authenticity or the compassion that you're looking for, right? So I think once you kind of understand yourself a little bit more, you've gotten curious, you know what you want to ask, then just start asking. So I think, you know, it could be a family member, could be a friend, again, somebody who's safe, a financial expert. And I honestly throw this out to everybody too. If you can't think of anybody in your life, reach out to me. This is what I love to do. I love to talk to people about money, in any capacity, right? So don't hesitate if you need somebody, but you need to find somebody who is going to make you feel comfortable and not feel stupid. Because if that happens, then you're going to just shut down and you're not going to want to engage in these conversations again. So it's really important to be empowered enough to advocate for yourself, to get curious, and to ask good questions.
Yeah. And I love the one of reach out to you, reach out to me. There are so many podcast hosts, creators that I mean, and the many that I've talked to, I can't think of one that would be mean to you. Like, we're all going to want to answer your questions. So if you really can't find anybody, there's so many people online who would be happy to email you about it. If you're open to it, come on their podcast. Like, there's a lot of great people out there that'll talk to you about money. So I love the idea of working through it with yourself and then just start asking.
I've had people who've listened to my podcast before that just send me a message on Instagram or whatever it is. And we've just gotten on a call and just talked for 45 minutes, an hour. And that's my favorite thing to do, is just connect with people individually. And it doesn't have to be, it's not me giving financial advice. It's just creating a safe space for somebody to share what's going on in their world, because maybe they don't have that safe space, or they don't feel like they have that safe space around them, in their immediate surroundings, right? So money can be so intimidating, and it's important to find the right people to talk about it. But it's so important to talk about it because it's so empowering, and all we're doing is, again, like, keeping ourselves stuck or keeping ourselves small if we don't, right? So we need to be able to create that bravery within ourselves to advocate for ourselves and what we need and what we want.
Yeah. I think the other warning to everyone who's maybe just about to start talking about it for the first time is you're probably going to cry. Like, money is such a heavy, like, emotion filled thing, especially when you first start opening up about it. So don't feel guilt or worried about crying about money, because I don't know the stat, but it's definitely over half of people have cried about money or something like that. It's a very high number.
Money is so, it's so emotional, and I don't think we realize it, because again, our culture kind of separates out. So I'm a financial planner. I've been in the financial services industry for 18 years, and it's a very male dominated field. And I feel like the perception of it is that it is just, it's all business. It's all numbers. And that's mm-hmm. And it's not. And when you sit down and you're working with families and couples and individuals, you recognize, especially with women, you recognize how much more meaningful their money is. It's not just about tax savings. It's not just about, or Roth IRAs or whatever it is. It's about so much more than that. It runs deep. So I think, again, we need to recognize and have some compassion for not only ourselves, but for everyone else out there, because everyone's dealing with something.
Yeah. I had a recent episode about how money is more than just math. And honestly, one of the things I like to say is if it was just math, we'd have it all figured out. Money would be easy if it was just math.
Right.
We have supercomputers that would be able to figure out the optimal way to do everything, but that's just not how it works. So we have to be understanding of the emotion.
Right. Which is, the benefit of working with if you work with an advisor, I think that's the benefit of working with a in person versus like a robo advisor or something, mm-hmm. because you get that connection, you get that that emotional piece or the compassionate piece. And if you're working with somebody, typically it's not their first rodeo, right? Like they've been through this before, and they can share other experiences that help you feel less alone. I think that's a huge piece to this too. When we're struggling, sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through what we're going through at that moment. And then you kind of, once you kind of take a step back and broaden your horizons and your experience, you kind of recognize like, oh yeah, I'm not alone. I had, I talk about self-compassion a lot because I think it's so foundational for this work, but I had on my podcast, the pioneer in self-compassion research, Dr. Kristen Neff, on my show. And Dr. Neff talked about the three components of self-compassion. It's kindness, mindfulness, and common humanity. And common humanity is in my mind the biggest piece. It's exactly that. It's just knowing that you are not alone. We are human. Everything that you're feeling, somebody else has felt before. Mm-hmm. And the biggest piece is being vulnerable enough to share it. And then this kind of also gets into like Brené Brown and this whole idea about like vulnerability and mm-hmm. shame. And if you keep shame contained, then it just festers and it creates more shame. But if you keep shame out in the open, it has nowhere to go. It has nowhere to live and survive. So it kind of just dissipates and goes away. So I think vulnerability is knowing you're not alone and also sharing your experiences is huge. And that was really like the precipice for me starting the podcast and sharing my journey.
Fantastic. I hope everyone listening is feeling inspired, that they're like, wow, I've had this question deep inside for months and I'm finally going to go talk about it. They're going to reach out to one of the two of us and ask some questions and get their money talk started. But Megan, this has been a fantastic episode. We've talked about a lot and a lot of ways that people can get beyond the emotion and the math of money and really understand it on a values level. But two final questions here. One is going to be, how can people find you online or reach out to you? And then the last one, to give you a second to think about it, is what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money? But first, how can people find you?
Okay. Yeah. So you can check out my website. It's pretty simple. It's just moneyisn'tscary.com. And if you're interested, I said I was a certified money coach. So I now work one-on-one with individuals to be able to do this exact work, right? Go back through, understand your money story, your money history, and help you kind of create those or create awareness around those unconscious patterns that you have. So that we can kind of get you to where you want to be, right? Instead of feeling stuck where you are now. So if you want to work one-on-one or you're interested in chatting more, just go to the website and you can get in contact with me there. And I'm also out there on social media. I'd say I'm most active these days on Instagram, just @moneyisn'tscary.
Awesome. Fantastic. Those are some great places to find you. Reach out if you have any questions, of course. But Megan, what is one thing that if you could tell yourself 20 years ago or so, what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner about money?
Yeah. and I think we've talked about this as well, but that this idea that it's not about the numbers. Mm. It's never about the numbers. It's way more than that. It's the feeling that it brings us, right? It's not, say we want, right, something so badly, this object, right? And we save up money for it, right? It's not the actual thing that we want. It's the feeling that we get from having that thing, whatever it is, adventure, luxury, safety, freedom, whatever it is, right? There's so many ideas or so many things that we're craving. That amount that we've saved in our bank account, right? Like, it's not necessarily the amount or the dollars. It's just a number, which actually means nothing in and of itself, but it's what that number represents to us that matters. Maybe it's status or, again, safety, freedom, that kind of thing. So that's what I've learned through this journey, that it's not about the money. It's about what the money means to us.
Wow. Yeah. That's an eye-opening, like, mic drop moment to leave it on. So Megan, thank you so much for joining. This has been a great conversation, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
What a fantastic interview. Thank you so much to Megan for coming on today's episode. I know that was a great conversation, and I'm sure you took something away from it. So thank you to Megan for joining. But today in the Money Talking Points, let's start with the first one. What are 2 to 3 values that you enjoy spending your money on? Well, for me, 2 of the top ones that come to my mind are recreation and computer tech. Recreation in terms of, like, paying that admission fee to go to a national park. That is an easy 100%, doesn't bother me at all, fun time spending money. And computer technology is also another area that I like spending money, whether it's automation, smart home stuff. I love that realm. So I will easily save up some money and then throw $200 at some smart home tech, because that's fun and exciting for me. And I have no problem spending money there, because since I know it's one of my values, it's totally possible to align our savings goals with that in mind. And then I'm able to spend freely on the things that I value. So how do you identify your values? I think that's a key thing to be thinking about with this money talking point, is how do you find your values? Well, simply Google list of values and start down that rabbit hole. Once you start down that rabbit hole, you're definitely going to be able to identify a few, probably pretty quickly, that click with you. You're going to be able to say, yeah, that one stands out to me. I really want to make sure I'm spending money in that way right there. And then see what spending you're already doing fits into that category, because I guarantee there's something there. I guarantee you're already spending some of your money in a way that aligns with your values. So think about that. Figure out ways that are already aligning with your values and then stick to those, because those are going to be the things that really bring you kind of a lot of joy in your spending. And then cut out kind of ruthlessly the things that do not align with those values, so you can spend more money in the ways that truly align with the ways that bring you happiness and joy and bring you value. But let's talk about the second money talking point. Do you feel guilty about your spending? The answer to this one is probably yes from time to time. I know for me, it's yes from time to time. We just moved. My wife and I just moved, and we bought a new couch. We got a bigger place. And I was honestly feeling pretty trepidatious about the money we were spending. I was worried about how much we were spending, how quickly we were spending some money that we got. And I found myself worried about it. I felt myself feeling guilty about spending money on a new couch, things like that. So what do you do when you feel guilty about things like that? Well, you got to take a step back and be okay with it. Give yourself some compassion, understand where the spending is coming from, and realize that that's a moment for change. For me, this was a moment to discuss with my wife what that change might have been, or why I was feeling this way, or being open and having a money talk about what I was feeling. So be open when you start feeling guilty about spending. It's a great chance to recognize the need for some change. And then go out and make that change. Implement the different things that you need to see change in your life so you can avoid feeling guilty, because it's not something we all want to feel. We want to feel valued in our spending, and we want to feel like our spending is worth it. So remember, guilt is a sign that something needs to change, whether it's just simply having a money talk with a spouse or it's completely changing how you're spending money. Use that guilt to recognize an opportunity to take small steps to do better with your money today. But that does it for today's episode. Thanks again to Megan Dwyer for coming on today's interview. Let's wrap it all up next. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really do appreciate it. And thank you so much to Megan for coming on today's interview. And I think aligning your values with your spending is going to prove worthwhile for anyone listening to this and anyone you share this with and have a money talk with. I know that I find the most value in spending ways that really do bring me a lot of fulfillment, like enjoying nature at national parks, enjoying the outdoors with my wife because we both have a nice paddleboard or something, or a nice e-bike. It makes it a lot easier to save for, but it also makes it a lot easier to spend when you look at those hefty price tags and know that it's going to bring you value. So make sure you're aligning those values with your spending so that your spending can truly be worthwhile. So what bad money belief do you have right now in your mind that you're going to work towards overcoming after today's episode? I'd love to chat about it with you. Shoot me an email. Let's have a quick conversation about how you can take some small steps today to figure out how to get past that bad money belief that's holding you back. Take a small step towards it and then keep working forward. But thank you all for listening. We just passed 3 years and we're still going strong. Please share this episode with a friend and leave a 5-star review on your way out of your podcast player so that we can continue to grow and share the good news of talking about money. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.